Welcome to the Productivity Mastery Podcast, presented to you by myself, Stoyan Yankov, productivity and performance coach, keynote and TEDx speaker, and co-author of the Perform Methodology, and the book Perform, the Unsexy Truth About Startup Success. Join me on a journey to discover what some of the world's leading professionals do to be more productive, create peak performing teams, and build successful global companies. New episodes weekly. And now, enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Productivity Mastery. Every week, we bring you an inspiring guest from some of the best people in the world in specific areas of expertise. I'm very excited to be welcoming today my guest, a fellow Bulgarian. And interestingly, I've heard about this guy from many people all across Europe. I travel a lot. I do a lot of speaking on conferences and everybody's like, oh, you're from Bulgaria. Have you met Boris? I'm like, who's that Boris guy? You know, like a couple of years since we finally managed to have a cup of coffee a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't enough. Definitely an hour and a half wasn't enough, and I had to go to my dentist. More fun stuff to do. But my guest today is the founder of boutique presentation agency 356 Labs, and also the largest premium presentation skills conference in the world called Present to Succeed. Funny fact, the first conference I invest in myself for the last few years. I usually get invited to speak at conferences, so I get the VIP tickets and stuff. This is the first conference I'm like, you know what? I actually want to go as a participant and not worry about having to present or something. I just want to live it because I think it's a really, really nicely organized piece. And if you go to the webpage afterwards, you see what I'm talking about. So, my guest today has delivered top-rated presentations and training in more than 30 countries across the world, from topics ranges from storytelling, slide design, public speaking. He and his team built presentations for many of the top performers in the world, some of the largest companies. They're leading trainings. So what can I say? He's an entrepreneur. He's a very inspiring guy. He's a no filter, no BS person, which I'm very excited about. And we're going to have a lot of fun today, I hope. Boris, how are you?
First of all, thank you for having me here. And thank you for trusting the event by joining us on the April 28th. Hearing something like that coming from a professional speaker is a huge, obviously a huge thing for us, because as you mentioned, it's very rare for people to nowadays invest in those type of things. And you choosing one of our events, and actually our yearly event, means a lot and is a proof that we're doing something right. Let's leave it there.
I have high expectations, so no pressure.
Yes, that is. I also have extremely high expectations from ourselves, so don't you worry.
I love it. Boris, let's maybe start from there. Prior to joining the podcast, starting the stream, we were talking about failure stories and those kind of things. And you mentioned something that you've been doing for the past few years. Maybe can you lead us through that? And why do you do that? What is that? Why do you do it? And maybe what are some of these failure points from the last few years?
Yeah, I would say that what we were talking about is something that we advise all of our customers to do themselves. So what we teach is what we also, we teach what we preach, as people say. But anyway, I use OneNote for note-taking. It's a Microsoft product as part of the Office suite. But what we have in there as a team is a tab where we collect failure stories. So we collect overall, not just failure stories, but stories from the event. And this is something that we advise all of our customers to do, because normally when we train people, because as you mentioned, we're a presentation agency, so we build presentations for some of those top performers out there, but we also train them. We have a lot of 50% of our business is trainings. So we always advise them because normally they would say, hey, it's great that we have to incorporate stories in our presentations. But you know what, Boris? I don't have such. So I always say, you don't have such. It's a little bit hard to believe. So that's why we started advising them, hey, start collecting them then, and create something like a story bank, right? Where you just write down one or two sentences per story, because you don't need to write down the whole story to remember it, right? You just need one or two sentences. And then a pro tip here, maybe tag it, put some hashtags on it so that later on you can easily search, right? Motivational, success, failure, etc. This is something that we advise our customers to do for their own presentations, for the brainstorming process of their presentation, so that they can pull these stories in the presentations that they have to deliver. And obviously, we do it ourselves. We have a story bank from each year. For 2021, the first event we have, let me see the screen on, I have another screen here. It's like 19 such entries and that were worth writing about. Okay, so there were way more, but these were the ones that were worth writing about. And the 2022, there were 6. Okay, huge ones. So it really depends on you. Where do you want to start?
Well, actually, I want you, if you can share, you know, failures and mistakes is not something that we like to talk about, right? Like we like to show on social or whatever, when we present something, the success, the achievement. So maybe can you share one of these major failures so we can set the tone for the rest of the episode?
Oh, that is not that hard, to be honest. So 2021, for example, let me give you the context for 2021. 2021, we decided to do Present to Succeed for first time ever. We decided to do it as a two plus one day event. So a 3-day event. Why am I saying 2+1? 2 days of the conference itself, only online. Right, so this is an online event back then, because the COVID pandemic hit, which, by the way, made it extremely easy, as you can imagine, to win sponsorships for a conference, which is your marketing budgets, for a conference that's on the topic of not IT, not marketing, not artificial intelligence, not a sexy topic, but for presentation skills. Okay, so that was a little bit of a challenge there. So we decided that we're going to do 2-day event for 2 days for the conference, but we're going to have a pre-day kind of with masterclasses. And we thought that if we do 4 masterclasses and we sell them out, right? So 15 people per masterclass, so 60 people. We thought that if we do that, there will be a direct correlation between the people that came into the masterclass and the people that afterwards purchased tickets for the event. And why not even purchase tickets for many more people around them, right? So we have spent an insane, ungodly amount of time to create those 4 masterclasses, each one of them 4-hour long. So 2 4-hour long masterclasses before lunch and then 2 others after lunch. We sold those tickets. So we more or less sold out those events for the trainer. These people got paid everything, every ticket that was sold, all the revenue, 100% of the revenue went to the speaker, to the trainer of the masterclass. And then we were looking at the data. And surprise, surprise, there was 0 correlation between people who came to the event, people who came to the masterclasses and purchased tickets to the masterclasses, and the people that actually joined the event. And I mean 0. So what we ended up doing is we organized 4 events, 4 smaller events. We paid other incredible speakers. And then we got nothing out of it, right? Except for the fact that we have spent, just an insane amount of time to make those 4 workshops happen and to sell those tickets, because they were quite expensive tickets. And at the end, we didn't get anything. And that's why, by the way, in 2022, we didn't do masterclasses again. We learned from our mistakes. Again, I'm not saying that this strategy, if you wish, doesn't work or we shouldn't try it again. I'm just saying that back then it didn't work. And that surprised us a lot. Just a lot.
Thanks for sharing, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. And we're going to uncover deeper some of these things. I wonder, maybe kind of the question that you get asked a lot of times, why presentation skills? I mean, you're leading a boutique, leading agencies for presentation skills. You are one of the founders of the largest presentation skills conference in the world. How did that passion for presentation skills, was that more like a practical, you look like a very practical guy. Was that like a practical sort of like, hey, you can be so much more effective if you master presentation skills, or was it the love to presentation skills? What made you get into this area?
What made me get into this area is back then when I was in the university, I decided that it would, because back then in my class, when we were, so you have to imagine that we were like 18, 19 year olds. Back then, because I started with IT, so I was informatics, information systems and technologies and everything else. Back then in my class, there were people that at the age of 18 or 19, they were already having jobs. They were already doing some incredible things in the world of IT. So I decided that it's not fair and they need to share their knowledge, you know, with us. Or at least it will be extremely helpful if they join a session or a seminar, as we decided to call them seminars, and just decide on a topic and just share their knowledge with the others in the university, not just in our class. And so I decided that I will organize those events for these people. And my role as the host was to introduce those people, right? So I didn't lead the seminars. I was just introducing them. And I noticed that every single seminar that we hosted, during that introduction that was between 30 seconds and a minute and a half, let's say, no one, and I mean no one, was listening to me. No one. And that was a repeatable pattern, you know, like every single event, different crowd, and no one listens to me for 30 seconds. And I was like, oh my God, probably the problem is in me, right? So it should be me. There is no way around it. And so I decided that I need to do something about it, because I felt like, wait a minute, if I want to continue running those events, something needs to change. And so I decided to enroll in a presentation skills class, but again, back then in New Bulgarian University, which I was part of, there was no such class. And so what I ended up doing is I organized a training with an external trainer, right, that was led in the facilities of the university, and I organized that training so that I can enroll in it myself. Okay, so this is how it happened. These were my first steps in me improving my presentation skills.
Very entrepreneurial, love it.
So that's where it all started. Which is, by the way, to say yet again that presentation skills are skills. These are things that people can learn. And on the question on why I would do it is just because I always love to say that even today, I was in the IT world before 7 years ago or something. So I spent 5 years or 6 years in the IT world, which means that, let's say 13 years ago. So if you look at the world right now, you see that even today, 2023, you see that it's extremely rare to find someone who is a great person, has a great expertise in one area, let's say IT or finances or marketing or project management or event management, just name it. but they're also great presenters. That combo of being a domain expert plus being a great in communicating what you know is just not exist. It doesn't exist, almost doesn't exist. And whoever has those two skills, when you mix them out, when you combine them, it is dangerous. And it is dangerous in a positive manner. So whoever is listening to this one, if you are still not developing, or if you are still not spending 80-20, right? 20% of your time in improving your communication skills, do it. I mean, do it. It will pay off like nothing else out there.
And if you can just maybe give us an overview, what are the top three pains that you are solving for your clients?
Oh, so when we build presentations for them, we normally get requests, or normally people and companies reach out to us when there is a extremely crucial moment where they just don't want to fail and they don't want to miss the opportunity. So we don't get involved in presentations that don't have high stakes in them, because it also doesn't make financial sense for the other side. So normally, just to give you context, for example, one of the recent presentations that we did for a startup, a tech startup, raised 13 million euros from the BMW company. So when you are pitching BMW for 13 million euros, you better talk and work with someone that specializes in presentations, right? At least in my opinion. We had cases where other startups, in this case, their presentations raised way more, double, like extreme amount of money. And they even got featured at Business Insider because of their presentation. So we got hired when a person at Deloitte was given the opportunity to pitch a jury, in front of a jury internally in Deloitte, so that he becomes and moves from the country director position, which is, you can imagine, this is a very high level position already, from a country director position to a partner, right? So you have one shot, 15 minutes, you better do it right, because otherwise this new role, which is coming with a lot of great things for you, right? A lot of benefits if you become a partner. You better do this. You better do this right, or at least our customers and the people that reach out to us, they just want to make sure that they maximized the opportunity. You know, so overall, high stakes moments are moments where we get involved in. And for the trainings is, hey, let's just upskill a group of people that we are planning to have them on board as communicators or as presenters or as a front line in front of customers, vendors, partners. Or let's just kind of upskill people who are already that front line that have to communicate with important people for our business on a daily, weekly basis. These are the moments when we, for example, get in a company and deliver some highly customized trainings for them.
And I wonder, since there's a lot of entrepreneurs and, you know, founders listening to the podcast, if you can maybe, we can go down in the trenches, right? And maybe you can share some initial pieces of advice, like basic, so we can start from somewhere. Like, what are some of the mistakes that startup founders do when it comes to developing their pitch? And it's the overall journey, right? The storytelling, the information, how they structure it, the design. Like, what are some of the main challenges? What would be your recommendations to founders that are about to pitch, but maybe they are not necessarily trained storyteller? Like, there's many tech founders, right? That they have great products, they have great ideas and everything, but they might be struggling with the pitching, with the storytelling. So what would be your advice to them?
I would say that normally what we end up seeing, because we worked also with SAP, let's say in Berlin, We did some work for Techstars also in Berlin. And obviously, all across Europe, we were contacted from by other companies that are startups. I would say that many of the startups, not all of them, of course, but many of the startups underestimate the importance of preparation. Normally, they got, I would say it, a little bit cocky in regards to how much they know, how familiar are they with the topic that they are going to present on. And they forget that when you go on stage, let's say, a lot of things change. So I would say, first of all, don't underestimate the importance of preparing. And by preparing, we can go in a lot of details, obviously, and we can talk about a lot of things. But I would say, first of all, when you build a presentation, and I'll go back to building it, but when you build a presentation, when you build a story, when you hire a designer or a freelancer or your person in your team, your designer helps you build that deck in Google Slides, PowerPoint, Canva, Apple Keynote, Beautiful AI, Pitch.com, whatever the tool is. Don't underestimate the importance of rehearsals. To me, that's shocking. Even till today, I can see people that are not rehearsing their presentations and expect that when they go in front of the live audience, everything will be fine. That's a very risky move, everyone. I wouldn't recommend that, especially when the stakes are high. So it's quite strange when you see it. But now that I'm coming from the IT world, and then we are now working with so many industries, listen to what the crazy part is. The higher you go in the hierarchy in a company, the more people are willing to listen, and the more these people are willing to, in this case, rehearse their talks. So the more you work with the C-level executives, the more you see that the busiest people in the organization book a full day of their schedule to rehearse and to just rehearse. A full day. Do you understand, everyone? Let's put that into context. Do you understand how many times can you rehearse a talk that's, let's say, 10 minutes long if you have a full day? Do you understand how many times can you rehearse a talk if it's a 30-minute or a one-hour talk? These are at least 5 to 10 times for a 30-minute or a 60-minute talk. Not to mention those short pitches that are 3, 5, 10, 15 minutes, right? You can go on stage. If you dedicate just a day of your life, you can go on stage and pitch in front of an investor. And when you are on stage with the investors in front of you, this will be probably your 20th delivery of that presentation. Do you understand what a difference this makes and how it will sound and how you will look and overall how the pitch will be accepted? Because I promise you that you will sound very different and you and your company will be presented in a way better manner and in a way better way. Okay, it will be presented way better if it's the 20th rehearsal instead of you going on stage for first time ever and hearing that presentation for first time ever, which is a bad idea in general. Like you hearing the presentation for first time and the audience is already in front of you, that's not a good idea. That's just not a good idea. So don't underestimate the importance of preparation and rehearsals.
I just want to share something before we move on. Actually, Boris, that clicks so much with me. I'm meeting many founders. I'm talking to many business leaders, as you know, and it's funny that we need to talk about that even, right?
Yes.
Like, you need to prepare. You need to rehearse. And I remembered my first ever coaching client. Back in 2014, I finished this coaching academy and I was like, I'm going to try to be a coach, right? Like I didn't really know what I'm doing, but then I reached out to a few of my friends and I was like, hey, can I practice on you and give me testimonials? You know, that was the first steps for me. And there was this girl, very smart, very ambitious. She was working for a corporate, but she wanted to be a consultant in McKinsey or BCG. And I had to work on her, and she landed the interview with BCG. And I didn't know this back then, but because I was trying to be there for her, like to we worked on her confidence, obviously, but confidence comes with preparation and repetition. So basically, she would have to come and pitch me that she why she needs to get the job. She was really good already on the, you know, the analytical test and all the stuff. It was more like for the interview part. So she would be, you know, talking to me. I'll give her feedback. We start again. I'll give her feedback. We start again. Then we do the Q&A, you know, which is something that I think many founders do not prioritize either, like the Q&A part. Like, you know, I'll ask her all the tricky questions and she needs to answer to me. And then I'm like, okay, that was good. But I think this and this was not so good. Man, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, she calls me. She was like, I'm like, hey, what's up? How did it go? She's like, I got it. Of course I got it. I'm
easy.
Like, what? Easy. So you know, love that you're talking about that, man. I mean, the power of presentation skills, as you said, it's not the sexy thing, right? But it can improve so many things in your life. Whatever it is, man, you're a salesperson. If you're good in presentations and inspiring people with stories, with examples, with really good structure, I mean, your sales will grow. If you are a leader, a manager, you want to get the best out of people. Forget about clients, your people, your team. If you're a good presenter, if you're a good communicator, you know how to inspire. And communication is also about listening, right? So knowing presentation skills allows you to also to listen, to coach your people. I mean, it's insane how much one single skill can help you to be a great professional, to succeed in life.
Yeah, I would completely agree. And because you said listening, I would say that this is probably one of the biggest mistakes that we see with startups and also with corporates. So I'm still amazed that when we ask, okay, who is going to be there in front of you? So who is going to listen to this presentation, or who are you building this deck that you are going to send over email for? Almost no one knows about, almost no one knows the answer of that. And I'm like, you have to stop everything that you are doing because you have some homework to do first. You need to understand, as we like to say in our industry, you need to understand your audience extremely well first. So whatever you're trying to communicate to somebody. Who is that person or who is that group of people? Normally, when we talk with customers, for example, when we ask them, hey, who is in the audience? Immediately resistance kicks in, which is normal human reaction, of course. But they say, we cannot know. It's a conference. Everyone can buy a ticket. And I'm like, okay. But the conference is ran by event organizers. So someone is running this conference. Did you call them? And then the answer is being repeated. We cannot know, Boris. It's a conference. Everyone can buy a ticket. So everyone that's listening to this stream or watching a recording or whatever it might be, I asked, did you call the organizers? You responded, we cannot know. Okay, stop for a second. And this is normal. This is purely, absolutely expected human reaction. Again, resistance. I'm asking you to change something. When I ask you to change something, part of your brain is like, I don't like that. Right? That's why we are coming up with various reasons why what I'm suggesting we should do is not a good idea and won't be done right now. I won't be spending my resources, my effort, my time, my energy, especially when we talk about the brain, my energy there. But it's very, very important. You not understanding the audience that you're speaking to is just, it is almost a guaranteed formula for failure. Almost guaranteed.
And if you build on top of that, not just understanding, but actually genuinely caring for them to win.
Yes.
Like Boris, we had a cup of coffee, we were discussing the podcast, and you were asking me, what are your audience interested in? We're not making this podcast so we can have a nice chat and drink coffee. We can do that ourselves, right? It's like, how can we bring most value to the audience? Understanding what the other side is in anything we do with business. It's like, I had a very experienced sales B2B professional, Hanan Cohen. Maybe he's listening. So Hanan, thanks for being with us. But he was like, this one mindset shift you need to make when you are selling. you are not selling. Somebody's buying. It's not, not, you know, this is my product, great features, it's the fastest. It's like, yeah, but do the other person, does the other person care about these features? Like, shouldn't you take the time to understand what the actual pains and challenges and like maybe these features, okay, they're great, but who cares if they don't solve any the other person's problem? So how can we shift, right? That's where the presentation starts. It's not let me make this amazing presentation and I train and practice. Yeah, but what if it doesn't click for the other side at all because I don't understand them?
Yeah, I would say by the way, what you mentioned around you are not selling, they are buying. It was yesterday that I heard, I don't know his name, but the guy that runs, he's a brilliant guy, by the way, that runs this company that's called The Future. So they're a design, they have a huge design community, creative. The creatives probably know very well who those people are and which company The Future is. But he was talking about what sales is. And he says that the S in sales, the first S in sales, actually stands for serve. And I was like, oh my God, it's so well done. So well done. And then he says the A is for ask, meaning asking questions, right? Then the L, he was like, is listen. And on and on and on and on and on. So yeah, man, I mean, come on. it is a huge conversation, obviously, this whole process. But for me, startup founders need to definitely spend time preparing. I would say that understanding who is the investor or who are the investors in front of them is extremely important. And you should find as much as you can, right? And then ask yourself, hey, this quote, the fact that I know their hobby, the fact that I know that they're investing in those type of companies, should I use that somehow in my presentation? Is it going to help me get the investment if I say this? Yes or no? If it's a yes, maybe you should use it. If it's a, then it's a no, right? Don't use that piece of information that you found somewhere for that pitch. And if it's a plain and simple, well, it's a great to know that he has a Cocker Spaniel, but you know, it's not the right moment to talk about that, maybe. So always filter whatever you find online. We like to say that every single presentation has a goal. What do you want to happen after the presentation is over? And you have to understand the audience, right? You put these two things in front of you, and once you know them, you start brainstorming. And once you're ready with the brainstorm, you have this idea X, you have this idea Y, you have this table full of data, you have a chart, you have a story, you have whatever you might have. Then you start the filtering process. You look at each and every idea that you brainstormed on a piece of paper, on some sticky notes or wherever, and you ask a very simple question. Is this idea helping me achieve that goal in front of this audience? Yes or no? If it's a yes, it stays. If it's a no, it's a great idea. Maybe the next time, right? Just that exercise alone. If I see the world and if I know that every presenter out there, no matter of if they're a startup founder or if they're a developer or a financial person, if every single person that's being asked to present is doing just this exercise, only for the moments when they have an important presentation. Okay, don't do it every single time. Just do it whenever it's important. I can easily shut down this company and move on, go back to the IT world and enjoy my life. Okay, just that. Okay?
It's probably not going to happen though. And by the way, we have a question from Nicoletta Pirvo, which is pointed at you. I think it's right on spot to add on top of this train of thought. And Nicoletta Pirvo is asking, what impressions, thoughts would you like the guests to leave Present to Succeed conference with?
I would say that if I go, so my opinion on my answer to this is that I want our audience not only to learn some new ideas around how they can present better, I want them to understand and to know. And I mean, I just want them to leave this event knowing that having presentation skills is one of those must-have skills. And it's already something, it's one of those topics that is not negotiable anymore. It is that important. So that's why what we're doing is, with some of our sponsors, we'll even have a panel. So I'll bring four people that are from different industries, right? From completely different industries. They are not presenters. They're marketeers, they're country directors, they're the CEO of one of the banks here in Bulgaria, etc. And we are going to be talking about what is the importance of presentation skills in their own organizations. How do they approach presenting inside of the organization or outside of the organization? Why are they doing it this way, that way, etc.? And the main reason why I want to do it is obviously first, because these are going to be some of our sponsors and we offer this to very limited amount of companies, just four people. What we are going to do is first, obviously, get them on stage so that they get the brand awareness for their own companies. But more importantly, I want people who are attendees to hear that in four completely different industries, the people that they're going to end up working with in one way or the other care about how people present. That's my only ask. That's the only reason why I am doing this. So I think that this answers Nicoleta's questions very, very well. That's my only dream here.
And let's maybe go into, you promised to lead me behind the scenes of the conference. And I think
yes,
many people who never organized events, they probably might come to a surprise when they hear.
They should. I mean, it's not a good idea. They shouldn't.
No, but I've been organizing events, international events, not to that scale, but even if you organize a 200 people event, it's crazy amount of work, like selling tickets, sponsors, organizing logistics, speakers, flying everybody. It's insane. But tell me, how big is the team? What does it take to really organize it? What are the things that you really need to cover, like to be able to actually make it work?
So the first 2 years, it was a way smaller, I would say, team. So it was me, a few designers, and Eva from our team, who also was doing the project management part on the side, right? So for us, this was a side project. We decided to test it out and see if it would work. And it exploded. However, now when we're doing a hybrid event, meaning we have an in-person part with 900 people and an online part with a few thousand people, you can say, okay, we have an event manager, a dedicated person who runs all the logistics, make sure that everything that's going to happen at the event will run butter smooth, right? So we have an event manager. We have a dedicated project manager, someone that organizes the whole team, organizes all the tasks, the workload, etc., and make sure that everything is on time with the quality that we all expect. We have inside of this small team, we have, I would say, one senior designer and two junior designers who are building creatives, visuals for everywhere. Just for everywhere, for the stage, for the venue, for social media, for our online presence in general, etc. For our internal presentations that we use to send to sponsors, to sell tickets, you name it, right? Because everything that you're seeing for Present to Succeed, all of our websites, the 2021.presenttosucceed.com, the 2022, the current one, the presenttosucceed.com, everything was built here internally. This is not something that we wanted. This is something that just, let's not get even there. So we have an event manager, project manager, three designers, I would say. Plus you have me, who runs the whole sales, sponsorship, and also speaker type of selection, communication, etc. And by the way, this is also, for me, this is a side project, even right now, because my day-to-day job is I run the company, I have a a team of 12 people. I otherwise deliver a lot of trainings. My calendar is normally booked with trainings, with type of things like this, with podcasts, with streaming stuff. So you have at least 6 or 7 people that are heavily involved in this. And it's still hard for us. You know, it is still hard for us. So in terms of resources, these are the resources that we have. Obviously, we are hiring a lot of external resources. Right? We have a whole team that is going to be streaming the event. We have the venue that's taking care of everything that's at the venue, meaning from the technology aspect. We have 3 photographers, a team of videographers that's going to be doing a 1 minute after movie afterwards. But they are going to be, I think, 4 people that are taking video shots and video, meaning video pieces of content, so that later on they can build a 1 minute video clip, which is crazy if you think about it. So there are just a lot of people that are involved in any event, and the larger it becomes, the bigger the team is also.
Do you feel the last couple of years were the easiest, super smooth, but do you feel the 2023 global recession kind of, do you feel the effect that it might have on ticket sales or sponsorship? How is that affecting you guys?
It's affecting us big way, big time. It's just probably the biggest pain point that we are having right now. It's extremely hard to pull off an event that's not a must-have event. Let's be very honest. We're organizing a conference on presentation skills. And even though together with you and everyone that's joining us online, we can say to ourselves, we know presentation skills are a must-have skill. Unfortunately, that's not the case for the world outside. Thus, every single thing that's not a must-have becomes a thing that's hard to invest in. And if you look at the numbers will also tell you that. So if you look at, for example, our sponsorship numbers, we were very close to 100,000 euros, let's say, investment in sponsorships for the last year's event. And we started organizing it in September. So this was the number before the end of the year. So for 4 months, we got more than almost 100,000 euros from sponsors. And we used those money to make this event happen. Just the streaming platform was 25,000 euros. I mean, just the streaming platform, not the streaming team, the platform itself. This year, it is completely different. And that keeps me up at night every single day. This year, we are 60% of that amount, and it's February. So, and yet the bills that we need to pay are double. Right. So you can definitely feel the effect of this global recession coming or whatever it might be at the end, because I stopped counting the number of responses from sponsors and companies that we try to sell tickets to that sounded like, yeah, but we don't have the budget right now, or we're keeping the budget for later throughout the year because we don't know what's going to happen. It's not a priority, on and on and on and on. It's just, we just one very quick here, if you allow me. Just imagine this one. We got a company to be our general sponsor for 2 years in a row, the first 2 years. And so every single year we achieve incredible results for them. So the return on their investment is humongous. Humongous. Every single year, the first year they invested a lot. The next year they doubled the budget that they invest because of the results that they see. So for online event, they got more than 2,000 leads for their product. That is insane if you think about it. So these are tangible business results, right? So 2023, at the end of the event in 2022, they are like, we are going to be opening a brand new office in London. And if you're going to do an in-person event in Sofia, Bulgaria, which is still Europe, right? Or at least we want to believe it's kind of Europe. but that joke is a joke that only Bulgarians would understand. Anyway, so we're having this new office in London. We're going to focus a lot on Europe in 2023, right? That's what they're saying in 2022. This is our biggest sponsor. They're like, we want to be all in for your event because this is going to be the event that we'll use to kind of make a lot of noise about our presence in Europe. And from my end, I cannot be happier, you know, because we have a great collaboration. I can only sense and smell that they're going to invest, again, at least the amount that they invested the last years, right? Which was a decent number. And I was like, okay, let's budget that amount that they're going to invest into something, right? Let's put it in the budget already because we're sure that's going to happen. And then October, they call us and they're like, we canceled the opening of the office in London and all of our marketing spent because of this tiring, this economical conditions and downturn that we are experiencing right now. Every budget that we are going to spend on marketing, if we decide to spend at all, will be only for the US market. Okay? Nothing to deal with us. Nothing. We didn't do anything wrong. We didn't even say anything, you know? They were the first to initiate that conversation and say, hey, we're really sorry, but this is not going to happen this year. And so you see thousands and thousands of euros just disappearing from your budget. And that afterwards, once you hear it once, then you're like, okay, that is bad because it will repeat. And it repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats. I even got a phone call after a training. I got a phone call from a person, I don't know from which country even. He calls us, they bought 300 tickets for their teams. There are contracts that are to be signed on the I was looking at the contract on the previous day before the call. So I exit, I leave a training, I receive a phone call, and this person that's always buying tickets for their companies, for their company in the last 2 years and buying 300, 400, 500 tickets for their organization calls me and says, hey, listen, we decided to call you because we think that's the respectable way to do this. And I was like, what is going on in here? These are not sponsorships. These are tickets. And they're like, our budget got cut. We need to get out of this deal. We're very sorry. And I was like, even tickets are being canceled? I was like, what is going on in here? So it is a little nightmare, if you wish. But I also told our team, hey, we will do this no matter what. I believe that we're going to make it successful. It will be the hardest event that we're going to pull off. That is guaranteed, right? From the three, this is going to be the hardest. But at the end, we will make it happen. I'm completely sure. I said to our team, there is no way a group of people like us is putting that much effort and it doesn't pay off. There is no way. It won't happen. I truly believe that.
I really admire this attitude, man, this mindset. By the way, you don't seem, you know, I can imagine the sleepless nights and, you know, how we're going to figure it out. Like, and it's kind of this mixed feeling because I know how much you put into the quality of the event, the level of the speakers, the organization, all the details. At the same time, it's just there's external factors that you cannot control.
Yeah.
On top of the fact that genuinely, like, usually organizing a conference is a really difficult thing, but now it's some extra challenges on top of it. Of course, you can do what you can do, right? Like there's certain things you can't control, and just you know, give it your freaking best, keep on doing and keeping the team motivated despite all the setbacks. I mean, I admire you guys for this, but maybe can you give me a bit of the idea about, you know, who are the upcoming speaker lineup, like who is coming this year? How do you guys select speakers? I know that you are part of it and you yourself are a speaker. You really care about bringing the best in the world. How do you pick the speakers and who are some of the names that you're particularly excited to bring this year?
So the way we select our speakers is very simple, to be honest. We are very, our first of all, our industry is a very small industry. So everyone knows each other. We might not know each other personally, but we know each other. You know what I mean? Everyone knows, hey, there is a person there or there is a person here that is doing incredible work. So that allows us to get to everyone that we need, because we are also very well known as a company. I mean, 356 Labs is a very well-known company in the presentation space, I mean. And Present Succeed obviously is the largest in terms of the sheer number of people that attend the event, the largest presentation skills event out there. So even if you don't know 356 Labs, there is a chance that you know what Present Succeed is. So the way we select our speakers is the following. We deliver a lot of trainings for a lot of organizations, as I mentioned. So name a company, we probably worked with them, probably, right? Most of the top Fortune 500s, we work with them. So what I do is I listen a lot. So we train them on specific topics that the HR believes that these people need to be upskilled in. And then obviously we customize based on our experience, based on our thoughts and feelings around the topics, etc. But during the trainings, I listen a lot. And I listen to the group's questions, because these questions are, I would say, the topics that we need to cover also during the conference. Because if one of them asks that question, there is a huge chance that a person in another organization, right, on that same row is also asking or should ask or will ask. So I curate the agenda based on what I hear from our experience with people from any industry and every row that you can imagine. Based on that, I am coming up with a list of topics that I really want to be covered during the event. And from there, I say, okay, who is the best person to cover that topic this year? And I say, okay, for, let's say, slide design and preparing for preparing yourself, and meaning once the story is ready, how do I bring that story to life with visuals? I know that I would probably reach out, let's say, to someone like Katia Kovalenko from Spain, and just say, hey, Katia, show us the brainstorming process. How do you collect visual ideas? How a non-designer, because our audience are not designers, how a non-designer, an IT person, a financial person, a project manager can build beautiful slides without being a professional designer? Show us the initial steps, right? Let's show them the initial steps. And so this is the flow that I follow, if you think about it. So I'm listening to what I'm being asked during trainings. Then from there, I write down topics that build upon each other, right? So we start from the storytelling aspect. Then we have a session on how do you craft a beginning, a super effective start and end of your presentation. So we collect the topics, we arrange them so that if you go through them one by one, it's like a training. And then I search and ask myself or the team, hey, who is the best person to cover this topic or that topic, right? So we don't have call for speakers yet, because we have so many things that we want to share with the people that are coming to this event that we still don't need new ideas. I'm not against them, but it is easier for us now. We know what needs to be covered because we are hearing the questions. And so we know also the people that can cover that in the best possible way. So if you're asking me about names, I would say Katia is incredible person. Really, I loved when during the first event, because we had her online for 2021, she said 80% of your presentation should be ready before you even open PowerPoint. So just that quote tells you a lot, right? Tells you a lot. Normally people open PowerPoint, start building the slides, copy pasting slides from one presentation to the other. Oh, wait a minute, this colleague of mine, I remember, he did something. Let me copy 5 of his slides, edit them a little. So Katia is, from the design aspect, I think someone that people would love to see. Sean Villaron, who is the vice president of PowerPoint. If there is someone on this planet that understands PowerPoint and knows the future of that product, I would say it is Sean. for some reason. He's going to join us from Seattle. He's going to join land here in Sofia, come here in Sofia for this event, and speak two or three times in different formats. So we are going to pick his brain on a lot of topics here. So I would say him a great addition to the list. And I would say that I'm also very very much looking forward to hearing Marguerite Jacobs, who is coming from the Netherlands, but we wanted to add one topic that's on what are the so-called cultural differences? Because there are cultural differences, right, out there. You cannot present in the same way to Bulgarians as you will present to Germans, for example. Right? People care about different things. We are different. And so more and more, the companies that we work with understand that, wait a minute, this is different. When I talk to these people in Germany or in Netherlands, they're different than us. Probably I should adapt, right? Probably I should do something. And so we decided to incorporate a session that's on cultural differences and how that changes the way you present and how that changes the way you build your story, right? So she will open the conference. So if I have to name a few, let's start there.
Tell me, because I got excited now, tell me a few more of the topics. Forget about the names now, not to go in detail, but like, okay, slide design, functionalities of PowerPoint, cultural differences.
Visualizing data.
Okay.
Visualizing data is a huge one, obviously, because nowadays there is almost no presentation where you don't see a chart, you don't see a table, you don't see a line chart or a line graph. I mean, it's just... it became something that is just part of almost every presentation out there. So visualizing data is also a huge topic. You will have, obviously, the cultural differences is one session. I will have a session that's on vocal variety, right? So how do you use your voice to present effectively? It's one another session that we're all definitely looking forward to. We will have, obviously, a session on body language. That is a must-have. But our whole event, by the way, I forgot to mention something. Our whole event is on the topic of hybrid presenting, because this is the new default for people. 5 people in the room, 10 people online on a Microsoft Teams call. That is a hybrid presentation. So because you have the in-person and the online format mixed together in one, that is probably the most hardcore way of presenting. It is so hard to make this happen. And what's even worse is that if the room that you are in is not prepared well for a hybrid presentation, it becomes even harder. And by that, I mean the room has to have some specific cameras, microphones, you name it, right? So you would see, for example, sessions on the first stages of preparing a slideshow. You will see a dedicated session on what it means to build a slideshow that's optimized for online delivery, right? So that is something that's extremely kind of niched, if you wish, extremely specific. You would see also a session on, hey, how do I turn any business topic into a story? That is also a topic that you are going to see. The one that I also mentioned, how do we create a start and an end that capture the audience's attention at the beginning, and yet at the end, what do I say? How do I say it so that people take the action that I want them to take? Because normally, most presentations end with someone speaking. I like to say that someone speaking, they go silent for a second, and then they say, well, I think that's it for today. If you have something... Yeah. You heard that one? So that is
so many times.
Yeah, by the way, I have also done that. Everyone has done that. Come on. So how do we do that in the best possible way? Because the ending of a presentation is important for so many reasons. It's also a topic that we're going to bring in. Plus, the event will end in both rooms, because you'll see there are two tracks running in parallel. We'll end with a selection of our speakers going on stage, and it will be just an Ask Me Anything, right? So we decided that there will be an Ask Me Anything session in both tracks. So you can imagine that, and I can already see that this one will go and probably be also as one of those sessions that I would personally want to be in. So what are the people in the audience and online going to ask us on the topic of storytelling, the speaking part, the public speaking part, the design and the tools? I can't wait. I just can't wait to see what's going to happen there.
And I love how your voice, your energy is going even more kind of, you're getting more excited when you talk about the kind of things.
I went through voice coaching, you see. That's why we're bringing in some voice coaches here.
So just to summarize for those of you listening, I mean, obviously, first of all, if you don't consider joining this conference, fair enough, but at least now you have a bunch of topics that you can go and research on your own. Like these are important topics for you as a business professional, as a founder, as a coach, consultant, presenter. But if you consider checking out Present to Succeed, presenttosucceed.com, I already got my ticket and I'm not affiliated. I'm not anything. I just genuinely, I bought a ticket and I really want to join this thing. And I think it's a really good thing. The other thing that Boris didn't talk about, but I think the tickets are really affordable. Like they really made them affordable. Like the prices are for what you get. I got a VIP ticket. It was in-person event, like, you know, coffee, meeting a lot of people. I got the recordings from last year, all the recordings and the recordings from this year. I'm going to get them as well for life. Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get a coaching session, one-on-one session from the team. I mean, it's insane how much, and I think I paid the 179, including the VAT, like, like maybe 150 without the VAT. So it's like, and by the way, Boris, maybe just to wrap up this episode, I know you have a couple of things to do in the next couple of months, so I don't want to keep you here, but maybe give us also the, you know, obviously there's people can go and get tickets, but you mentioned corporate packages. How could people learn more about the deals when it comes to, you know, sponsorship, but also the bulk ticket kind of options?
Yeah, I would start with probably the tickets, the group discounts, I call them. So everyone that goes on the website right now, presentsucceed.com, you'll see a humongous button in the upper right-hand corner that says group discounts. Go there, take a look by yourself. See how crazy the prices can go when you purchase tickets for many more people, right? So from 3, 5 to hundreds. We are doing some, I would say, shocking discounts. And the reason why that is the case is because we are not chasing money here. What we are doing is we are chasing as many people to get access to these skills as possible. Obviously, we don't want to lose money. So don't think that we are losing money here. Don't think that we are not asking you for some money, but you will see that the discounts go as high as up to 70%. So this is insane if you think about it. So the group discounts page, take a look at the prices for in-person or online. And also there is a contact form at the bottom. Reach out. Who knows? Maybe we can discount even further if you ask. You never know. So it's just a matter of asking us. So in terms of the sponsorships, obviously there is a page that's for sponsors. You can see what we offer there. But the only thing that I want to say for the sponsors is, please, if you decide that you're interested in exposing yourself and exposing your brand in front of the audience that you're going to see on that page, by the way, this event is for business professionals. And you will see the data behind who are the people that join us. Please consider everything that you are seeing on this page as an initial draft and as something that's just a starting thought, you know, nothing else. These ideas that you see on this page are just a start. We win brands like Microsoft, Canva, and many others, not because we offer them 3 packages and ask them to choose one. We win those brands on global level because we build custom offers for each one of them. So take a look at what's on the page, but then ask us, hey, Boris, I like the audience. I would like to be present there. Here is what I want to achieve, because when someone is investing money in a sponsorship, that's an investment, right? Someone who invests in something, they want something in return. Tell us, what do you want to get in return? And let us go crazy. Let us be the creatives that we are and let us present you an offer that hopefully will be your offer. If you don't like it, we'll fine-tune it based on your feedback again. Until we all get to a point where you say to yourself, okay, if I can get these type of things for that amount, gosh, that's a no-brainer, right? So that's how we approach sponsorships.
Me personally, I would love to first of all meet some really cool people who are interested in these kind of topics and you know, network. But secondly, as a speaker, as a consultant, I think it's a great opportunity to step up my game, to find new ideas, to see where there are some pointers of in which I can improve as a presenter, as a speaker. So I'm so much looking forward to it. April 28th is the conference. You guys go to presenttosucceed.com, check it out, connect with Boris. He's very active on LinkedIn. So hope to see some of you guys joining, and let us know if let him know if there's any specific topics that you are interested to have covered during this conference. Boris, please, final words, if you have anything to share to the audience of Productivity Mastery.
Yeah, I think that everyone who is here is a person that tries to be the best version of themselves, as we like to say nowadays. My ask for everyone is that it is obvious that everyone that's watching this, listening to this, is spending time improving their skills. My only ask for you is the time that you allocate to improve your skills, please split it and just split that time in the following way. 80% of your time in new learning, improving yourself to be on the topic that is your topic, your domain. However, please promise me that 20% of that time that you dedicate to learning will be on communication and presentation skills. That's the only thing I'm asking you to do. Nothing else. Don't flip it. I don't ask you to do 80% of your time when you're learning, you learn something about presentation skills or communication skills. No, just 20. That's the only thing I'm asking. Then, once you start doing that, see the changes, because I promise you that there will be humongous changes and new opportunities will unlock for you way faster than you have ever imagined.
What a great way to finish. Thank you so much, Boris. Thanks, everybody, for listening. See you, hopefully, at the Present to Succeed conference. But in any case, see you once again at the next episode of Productivity Mastery. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to subscribe to my monthly newsletter by visiting stoyanyankov.com, and also learn about the Perform methodology and the Perform book, as well as our various personal and team coaching offers. Stay tuned and keep performing.